We left off in the previous year discussing the different opinions in the Rishonim as to how to make sense of the two statements of Rabbi Yeshiva Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel. And then we came up really what seemed to be the Maskan al Halacha, what the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah tell us. There's almost a split psak. And for the Rav and for the Tzibur, so we have to advocate for Rabbi Shmuel. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes Yafa Tamatarim Derech Eretz. That's the Tzibur psak, because it's not practical to have everybody doing otherwise. That's what the Gemara seems to say, that Harbe Asu Kavishu Mechav will also be Adam. Nevertheless, the implication was that Harbe Asu, but Yechidim, Takla can do like Rabbi Shimon Yochai, and Yechidim should be encouraged perhaps to do like Rabbi Shimon Yochai. And we said that that seems to be the almost contradiction between, on the one hand, Chazal speaking as Sugi about the significance of Limud Umnus, of teaching a child to trade, a profession, and the Mishnah and Kedushin echoes that idea, but Olam Yilamit Adam is Bino Umnus Kalav and Nikiya. And yet, in the same breath, Rabbi Noroi talks about not teaching a son any other umnus, just teaching him pure Torah. So we said again, the same idea that Chavanu explained is that there's a difference between the Tzibur versus the Yochid. The question becomes, though, when you're dealing with the Yochid, so let's say even a Niach that someone is this Yochid. So we've identified the son of Rabbi Noroi. The question is, now how is that son of Rabbi Noroi supposed to support himself? How is he supposed to eat? So there seems to be a major question here as to what the next approach is supposed to be. So the Rambam, we're not going to go through it inside. There's a Rambam in Hilchos Tamei Torah, and then a very, very long Ketzav Mishnah. When I say long, I mean page and 2.5 pages. You know, these Marmakomas are originally off of the Marmakomas that I originally said Shurim, and I think these Shurim and Kedushin, I think I said actually in the Spanish program Marasha many, many moons ago. I think it was the first place I said these Shurim, and I said a moment and says, well, call them one summer. So they weren't really printed up as whole Marmakomas. They were just printed up, I in Ramah this, I guess submission this. So I somehow lost track of the fact that it was 4 pages long in this particular Ramah. So those who are interested, it's very, very fascinating reading. But I'll try to sum it up for you. So the bottom line is that there is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that speaks in a very, very negative tone about a person who uses Torah for his own pursuits, uses Torah for his own agendas. So the Mishnah speaks about Al Tasim Kardum Lachkorba, Al Tasim Kesel Lishtamish, but you're not allowed to use the Torah to become your own crown, you're not allowed to use the Torah to dig your own holes with. So the question is, what exactly does that mean? Also, the Rambam assumes that all those Mamar Chazal mean that a person is not allowed to take any money for his learning of Torah. So a person is not allowed to take the attitude that I'm learning Torah. So I want to get supported for what I'm doing, to such an extent that the Rambam holds that if a person makes a profession, so to speak, out of his learning, so that's not much an outright violation of what the Mishnah is teaching us. Therefore, the Rambam writes that we find in the Tanoim that the Tanoim had jobs. The Tanoim, Rabbi Yochanan Sadler, wasn't called a sandler for nothing. That was a job. He was a sandler. He was a shoemaker. We find Hillel used to cut the wood. That was a job. We find that Tanoim had professions. Whatever limited professions existed in those days, they went to work. Dafka, says the Rambam, because they didn't want to be in violation of this halacha of using the Torah for one's own personal gains. So many poskim question whether that is in fact what the Mishnah means. When the Mishnah says, Atasem kardim lachaba, is that really referring to the way the Rambam interpreted it to mean? So many suggest that Atasem kardim means as follows, that if a person goes out of his way to say, I'm going into learning because I want to make money, it means his attitude is, well, I don't really want to do anything else in terms of a profession. This is a good profession. I'll make X amount of money learning in Kollel, X amount of money being a Rebbe, X amount of money being a Rav. I'll take all my learning and everything, and that'll be my parnasa. And his goal is to get parnasa out of that. So that's a problem. That's not supposed to be the goal. However, whatever person takes the following attitude, I really want to sit and learn Yom Halayla. That's my really goal. I'm not interested in getting rich from the learning. I'm not going to get rich from the learning. I said, my goal is to sit and learn Yom Halayla. What am I going to do? I said, I have to eat, and my family's going to starve. So if Nebuch, the Kol, pays me a little bit of a stipend, the Kol pays me a little bit of money, and then, okay, I'll take the money for that. Because if I don't take the money, I'm not going to be able to continue learning. So that's a whole different attitude. So that's what many in the Mefarshim explained, that what Chazal were opposed to was if a person thinks that he's going to get rich from Torah, first of all, it's not going to happen. And second of all, that it's an inappropriate attitude to think that Torah is something that I go into for the parnasa. That's what Chazal was frowning upon. But if a person is going to the Torah, it's purely, really, really, I just want to go to the Torah. And now Nebuchadnezzar needs a little bit of a parnasa just to, so he can continue to learn. So that's okay. That's what others say. That's what the Mishnah is referring to. The Kesef Mishnah, again, those who are interested, they can take a look at the Kesef Mishnah when you get a chance. Papa Shabbos, a long Kesef Mishnah, where the Kesef Mishnah discusses the fact that notwithstanding what the Rambam is saying, is that the Olam doesn't follow this, as the Kesef Mishnah, that the Minhag HaOlam has been not to follow this. And the Kesef Mishnah writes that we give stipends for people to learn, and we give money for people to learn, and the community does support people to learn. So what is that based on? So either it's based on the fact that we don't accept the Rambam's interpretation of that Mishnah, or the Kesef Mishnah suggests that maybe, even if the Rambam's right, it's not shaykh to pass like that b'sman hazeh. Why is it not shaykh? So the Kesef Mishnah makes reference to a sugya in the fifth parakh of Maseches Gittin, where the Gemara says that Me'ikir Adin, you're not supposed to write down any of the Torah Shebapeh. All Torah Shebapeh is supposed to be Be'apeh, the Torah Shebichsav is supposed to be Bichsav. If a person writes down the Torah Shebapeh, that's a violation of the Din, Ki Api Advar Ma'ela. So the Gemara says that, so what did they do in the days of Ibn Danasi, when they wrote down the Mishnais, the days of the Gemara, they wrote down the Gemara? Wasn't that a violation of this Din? The Gemara quotes the pasuk: "Eslasas Lashem Eferasur Asecha." That sometimes you have an unbelievable shasar chach. Eslasas Lashem, where you have mamish no choice that you have to do something that would otherwise have not been appropriate to do. What exactly does that mean? Well, you could start violating Chil Shabbos because it's Eslasas Lashem. So what the Gemara seems to say is as follows: is that this din of keeping Torah Shabbat was to preserve the pure nature of Torah. Mr. Boshom gave us Torah Shabbat, and gave us Torah Shabbat. And in the perfect world, so the Torah Shebichsav should be Bichsav, and Torah Shebapeh should be Be'apeh. But then there's the real world that we live in. The real world that we live in is that if we observe this halacha, it will accomplish the exact opposite goal. Namely, it will ensure Shichas HaTorah. If you don't let people write down Torah Shebichsav, if Rabbi Nasi wouldn't have written the Mishnayos, if Ravina and Ravashi wouldn't have put together the Gemara, so all of Torah would have been lost. So it reached a point in history, for whatever factors, based on persecutions, based on lack of churban, whatever the cheshbonos were, the bottom line is we reached a crossroads in Jewish history that if we would have continued to observe the Torah Shebapeh, the study of Torah Shebapeh in the way that it was originally intended, that would have undermined the entire Torah Shebapeh. So that's what Chazal said. We have a tradition that when there's a halacha that's given dafka for the preservation of Torah, and the observance of that halacha is going to dafka contribute to the lack of preservation of Torah, so that's what the pasuk means. Eslasas Hashem Efer Asosecha. It's better to be mefir. It's better to violate, so to speak, that din of writing down the Torah Shebapeh for the long term goal of keeping Torah alive for future generations. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes that idea when it comes to the notion of supporting Tamid Chacham as well. Kesef Mishnah says, if for whatever reason, if you're going to follow the Rambam's model, the result's going to be no one's going to learn. So imagine you're going to tell all the Kohelim, we're not paying anybody. No, sometimes of course that's what happens. We're not paying anybody. Tell all the Rabbeim, no one's getting paid. All the Rabbanim, no one's getting paid. There's no money in Chinuch. I don't mean limited funds. There's no money, zero. There's no money in Chinuch. There's no money in Kohelim. There's no money in Rabbanim. Go look at what our next generation is going to look like. So the Kesef Mishnah writes that the Chachamim in our generations have come to the realization that we have to apply the principle based on Hashem Eferes Osecha. So even if the Rambam in theory is right, it's not shaykh. It's impossible to follow the pesach with man hazeh. It's going to lead to such a churban, such a shichas haTorah that you're going to lose more than you gain. So a combination of different reasons. That's what Moshe Feinstein writes in the Shuvah. That's been the minigah deri deris already. That we assume the halacha that we are allowed to give stipends for learning, and we assume that it's a good thing if a person's cut out the linen kolos. That's a positive thing. That again, if he's from those individuals, from the sons of Rabbi Noroi, who are able to do it long term, okay, then it's not a negative thing; it's a good thing. This idea that on the one hand, the Rambam is frowning upon it, and against the Mishnah is defending it. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that even the Rambam would concede that b'med the Rambam Murim. When do we say that this is a negative thing? That's when a person who's learning takes the initiative and says, I'm going to sit and learn, and I'm expecting everybody to come and support me. So the Rambam writes, that's terrible. That's not a good setup. What if you have an individual deal? What if you have what we colloquially call the Esachos Vulun relationship? So the Mishnah Berurah points out, he says, the Rambam wouldn't frown upon that. He said, and Chazal speak about. Chazal comment on the Pesukim in Chumash. Smach Zvulun B'tzeisach V'Esach B'Alecha. The Esachos and Zvulun entered into a partnership. They entered into an agreement that Zvulun supported Yisachar. So Chazal speak in the most beautiful terms about that. Smach Zvulun B'tzeisach. Chazal even say that the Torah gives first recognition to Zvulun, because if not for Zvulun, then the Torah of Yisachar wouldn't exist. So Yisachar and Zvulun is not a bidiyah, but Yisachar and Zvulun is a beautiful thing. That's a very positive thing. Mishnah Berurah says Yisachar Zvulun doesn't have to be brothers. That's the model. It could be fathers and sons. It could be grandparents and grandsons. It could be strangers. It could be if a person decides that they want to support the Koilo, a person decides they want to come forth. They're not being attacked. They're not being hounded. They want the Zchus to be able to support Tamid HaChamim. So the Mishnah Berurah says, that's great. That's not a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing. What the Rambam was opposed to is if a person comes and says, I'm sitting in Kol, I'm demanding of you that you have to support me because I'm sitting in Kol. The Rambam says, you have no right to do that. But if a person wants to be involved in that kind of a relationship, so of course that's a very positive thing. The only thing is, the Gemara says that type of relationship between Yisachar and Zvulun, so that has to be arranged from beforehand. Namely you can't have a situation where a person sits and learns and he's starving, and then 20 years later a rich person comes and says, okay, I'd like to please buy, after the fact, I'd like to buy a chelik in that Torah. So the Gemara tells a story about one of the days of the Tanoim. There was a person who wanted to do that. He made all his money. He didn't want to invest in the Kol so fast. He didn't have any money yet. So he made all his money. And then at the end of his life, he felt bad that he hadn't supported any Torah. So he's running around trying to find the Tamil Chacham willing to share their chelik in Torah. Well, it doesn't work that way. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Shirashirim, Im Yitain Ish is called Home Base of Ava Bozev Uzalo. That if a person wants to give all his money for the Ava Satorah after it's over, first the Tamid HaChamim was sweating and they were skipping and they were starving, and the guy comes now 20 years later and says, okay, I give you money, but do you have it to buy it? Bozev Uzalo. The Gemara says, that's not going to work. But if a person wants Betchila to set up a situation with a family member, with a child, with a brother, with a cousin, with a stranger or a neighbor or somebody, he feels that he has to have a share in supporting Torah, that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Even the Rambam would be more than happy about that. Not only would the Rambam support such an idea, the Rambam himself did such an idea. The Rambam was the recipient of that. It's described in the books about the Rambam that the Rambam in his early years was not a doctor. In his early years, he sat and learned. He was supported by his brother. His brother was a merchant. His brother used to support the Rambam and his family. Then the Rambam's brother died in a shipwreck. So then the Rambam was stuck. So now he had to support his own family. He had to support his brother's family. So he had to go to medical school. So he had to go become a doctor. In those days, medical school was a little bit shorter than it is today. They didn't know so much medicine. So it took about a week or two until they finished the whole course. And then, even if I'm not mistaken, the doctors know better about the history. If I'm not mistaken, I think when the first medical school started in America, I think it was the course of 6 months or something. Something was very, 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 very short. I mean, talking about it, in the 1700s, there wasn't that much to learn. So the Rambam learned medicine, and then he became a practicing doctor. And then decided he wrote Mishnah Torah. Well, in between patients, he wrote the Mishnah Torah. But in his early years of learning, so he was also supported by his brother. So he also practiced personally the idea of the Yisachar Zvulun relationship. So up until now, we've been talking about, in a sense, the conflict of Talmud Torah with limud umnas, with maintaining a parnasa. As we said already the other day, that even though limud umnas in the days of Chazal maybe was a very short thing, it didn't take that long to become a carpenter. There are many, many studies that have to be done, which are an extension of limud umnas. So the only limud umnas is umnas kalvanakia. So if a person is going to go down that route of umnas kalvanakia, he's going to have to get training for it. So he's going to have to go whatever the modern day equivalent, college, grad school, whatever the modern day equivalent of limud umnas of lakia is going to be. So then a person should feel that he's doing the B'teres Mitzvah, that he's doing it as part of what Chazal are recommending for the Hamonam. Again, the Yechidim are a little bit different, but for the Hamonam, so he's going down a proper path. He's fulfilling the Mitzvah Esav Tekenach. He doesn't have to feel bad about that. But then there's a second question, which also is a very touchy topic today. So again, where I'm not presenting my personal views on the matter. People aren't happy to talk about it off the record, but I'm just trying to present as the sugyas appears in the Gemara in the Rishonim Shulchan Aruch concerning another related issue, and that is what if a person wants to study other kinds of things which are not directly related to Liman Umnas Kalo Nakia. It's not going to necessarily result in his pursuing his umnas. Now, the way education system is set up, in at least in America today, is that very often, depending on what the umnas person wants to do, if a person wants to go to a vocational kind of a school, he wants to learn to be a sandler, whatever, the modern day equivalent of a sandler, so that he probably doesn't have to spend that much time in other kinds of studies. But if a person wants to go into other fields, he wants to go into fields that perhaps we're more familiar with, so then there are going to be certain studies in college, grad school, whatever it is, that may not be directly lead to that pursuit of that umnas, but he needs those courses to get his degree. So by default, that's also considered to be a part of the mitzvah of limud umnas. But what if it's not that way? What if a person wants to pursue other kinds of studies for different stages of life, or we're advocating certain kinds of studies for different stages of life, which are really not going to result. It's not going to result in any pursuit of the umnas per se. It's what we call chokhma for the sake of chokhma. So is that something that we should be advocating? Or is that something that we should be frowning upon? So we spoke a little bit about this in the past. We quoted the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Even though we said that Rabbi Yishmael, who was in a sense the biggest supporter of Torah of Derech Eretz, he was the biggest, the one who I came up with the strongest against the person who's learning shachochmas, the person who's learning other kinds of wisdoms, not in the context of limud umnas, which is in sense lishma. So the Rabbi Yishmael was very, very strong against that. Rabbi Yishmael said to his nephew, and his nephew said, which is probably a statement that most of us, myself included, have great difficulty making today. So a person finished Kol Torah Kula, can he learn Shar Chochmas? And Rabbi Yishmael said, even that was out of bounds. Even that question was incorrect. Kal v'chaymer, obviously, someone who has not yet reached that point has no right to ask that question. So that's what Rashi says in Parashat Achimah. Rashi says that explicitly. Rashi quotes it from Chazal that she'asel some v'chaymer. Rashi says l'leches b'em. I forget already which pasuk Rashi says it on. So Rashi quotes from Chazal that pasuk is referring to a person who says l'madati chachmas Yisrael elech ve'elmon chachmas umos. So Chazal said no. So go back to the base manager. Go chazal chachmas Yisrael. Go back and learn more Torah, and don't take that attitude. So you have clearly that idea in Chazal that limud umnas yes, but other pursuits of chachmas no. So the question is, do we follow that? Do we pass it like that? So in the Tzugya Menachas itself, we saw that there were other Tanoim, notably Rabbi Shimon Yochai, strangely enough, that left that part of our whole discussion, who seemed to, at least Rabbi Shimon, somebody, either Ben Yochai, Ben Yotah, some Rabbi Shimon, who said no, that Vagisa Bayom Valayla is not quite a chiyuv in that sense that every single second has to be in Limud HaTorah, implying that if a person has other things that he wants to pursue every once in a while, so that wouldn't necessarily be a violation of the pasuk of Agisa Bayom Valayla. So how do we paskin la loch in this? Do we paskin like Rabbi Shmuel's version that every single pursuit of Shach Chochmas is an outright violation of Bittul Torah? Or do we say no, that it's not necessarily Asar Al Bittul Torah? One is allowed to do other kinds of things, as well. So it would appear from the Gemara that we don't accept Rabbi Shmuel's version here, because the Gemara does quote, according to the other Tanakh, according to Shmuel Yochai, Filu Kar Kriyash Mashachas V'Yarvis Yotza, which is basically the way we paskin. We basically hold a Filu Parak Echad, a Filu Kriyash, etc., would be okay. If you remember when we introduced the Sugi before Yom Tif, so we said that the Rambam left out the Kriyash part. The Rambam writes Parak Echad, and he left out the Kriyash. That's a technical detail. But fundamentally, in Lomdus, we don't really seem to accept the view of Rabbi Shmuel, who put an absolute, stop on any pursuit of any other chachma. So how do we paskin halacha? So here the Ramah in Hilchas Tama Torah has almost a compromised psach in this area in terms of pursuit of other chachmas. So the Ramah writes that a person is permitted to be korei in other chachmas, biakroi, says the Ramah. And I don't remember, I don't think I put this final, I put some Shulchan Aruch on, I don't think I put this final Ramah on. So the Ramah writes that a person is permitted to learn shachachmas be'akroi in a more of a temporary, haphazard kind of a way, but his limud b'kviyah says that Ramah should only be in Torah. That's whether you want to call that a chumra kula, depending on where your vantage point is coming from, but that's what the Ramah says b'feirish, that one should only study shachachmas in a state of akroi be'alma. What exactly does that mean in terms of long? How do we understand that? Marav shach, if it's like anything else. I understand the extreme positions. I understand Rabbi Shmuel, who says it's all off limits, it's all a bittle tired and finished. And I understand those who hold it's okay. Where does that fit in exactly? So Rabbi Baruch Ver in the Sefer Bircha Shmuel has a beautiful, beautiful mahalach in the midst of Talmud Torah in general, and then he highlights what he thinks behind the Ramah is. The background of the Rabbi Baruch Ver is almost as fascinating as the piece itself. Those who are familiar with the story, that where this tshuva, so to speak, came out. Rabbi Baruch Ver didn't really write tshuvas. He was Rosh Hashiva first he was in Slapatka for a while, then he opened his own yeshiva in Kamenetz. So he was a reshiva, par excellence. But this was a particular tshuva that was written in the following context. And it got printed in the back of the Sefer in Masechet Kedushin, where some of these sugyas come up. It was this whole thing was started by I'll tell you who it was afterwards, but a certain anonymous yeshiva bachar who had grown up in Germany before the war in the early 1900s. He had grown up in Germany, and he had grown up exposed to the, we call it the Torah Derech Eretz, the Shem Shafal Hirsch's approach, to what today's become, I don't want to say was the Breuer's approach, is the Breuer, I don't want to get involved in any inner workings there, but was the traditional German-Jewish Orthodox method for the last 150 years or so, the Torah Derech Eretz. So this particular yeshiva bacher grew up in that model, and then like some of the bacherim from Germany who had excelled in his learning, so the great yeshivas at that time were in Eastern Europe, so the Mir, Tells, and Slobodka, and Kamenetz, and Rad, that's where most of the action was. So this particular bacher went off to the Mir, and went off, became part of the Eastern European model, which did not put too much credibility on secular studies. So this particular bacher was trying to get a sense as to, what exactly should the mahalach be. So he decided to send a shaila to some of the gedolei olam of Europe at the time to get their input as to what the proper approach should be. So because of this bacher, so we have a response of Baruch Be'er, we have a response of Rabbi Chanan, a response of the Telz Rosh Shiva, and the Ragachov. I think those are the four responses that we still have access to. There are a few others, I think, that were still floating around. So I think these four were the ones that were actually printed up in the Svarim. So this particular one was the Rabbi Chanan, I don't want to keep everyone on suspense for too long. The bacher was? It was Rishwav. Rishwav. Shimon Shwav was the yeshiva bach who did it. So anyway, so Rabbi Baruch Ber in the middle of that tshuva. So it's interesting because all the people who responded in the tshuva all speak in a very, very respectful way about Rishon Shafal Hirsch. They say what he did was necessary to be done in Germany, whatever the cheshbonus, whatever. But each of them in their own way says, but if you want to know what's really supposed to be happening, this is what's really supposed to be happening. And they all, the tremendous, tremendous covenant of the Eretz, explaining why Shem Shemal Hirsch did what he did. Whether you agree with that, their interpretation of what he did or not is another hot topic in certain circles. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Chaber presents what he thinks is the correct shot in the Ramah as follows. Rabbi Chaber writes, he was such a brisk, he was a Talmud of Rav Chaim. So Rabbi Chaber writes, there are two dinim of Bittul Torah. So Alam the Shabbat, there are two halachas. You can even bottle Torah in a brisk way. There are two dinim of Bittul Torah. There's Bittul Torah and there's Bittul Torah. What does that mean? Says Rabbi Chaber, says, sometimes a person has mevatel something, it's almost like a sheva ta'ase. It means he doesn't do anything. He's just not doing X. So he's being mevatel X. He's being mevatel Y. He's being mevatel Z. By just merely not doing it, he's being mevatel it. But then there's almost like an active Bittul Torah. An active Bittul Torah means, I'm not doing X, Y, because I'm doing B. I've picked to give significance to something else. That's a whole different level of Bittul Torah. Bittul, the word Bittul, means a lack of chashivas, like Bittul Chometz, like Bittul B'shishim, like Bittul Avodah Zarah. Bittul always means that I've reached the point where I realize this pizza is not really so important. I thought this pizza was great, it's really Afra the Arab. I thought this chaza was tasty, I can't even find it anymore. So lost, it's so much kosher food, it's Bittul B'shishim. So that's what Baruch Be'er says, that the Bittul Torah can happen, a person with Mevatel Torah, he wakes up, he's tired. His alarm goes off, he doesn't get up to go to the shiur. That's a Bittul Torah. Okay. Not that he's doing anything else overly productive, not that he's giving any significance to anything else except for his sleep. It's not that he's not learning. He's b'sheva ta'asa not learning. Okay. We're not advocating that, but that's one type of Bittul Torah. But then you have another kind of Bittul Torah when a person grants significance to something that doesn't warrant that degree of significance at the expense of limud Torah. So he says that's a profoundly different type of Bittul Torah. So says the Baruch Be'er, that's the Pshat here also. He says, if a person studies Shah Chochmas B'akroi B'alma, he has an interest, he's intellectually stimulating a little bit, he needs a little bit of break from his learning, he wants to study, to find out a little bit else, but other, okay, says Baruch Be'er, okay, all right. So We'll call bittul Torah. So a person's allowed to take a nap also if he's tired. A person's allowed to, play a little ball if he needs a little exercise. You're allowed to do certain things to keep your person going, physically, mentally, emotionally going. So the Baruch Hu says, okay, Zolzan, person, not everybody needs this, but some people need a little bit of an outlet, so he wants to study a little bit of Rekoraifa. But says the Baruch Hu, the minute that it becomes bekavua, the minute that it becomes something which is such a keva, he spends such a significant amount of time, both quantitatively and qualitatively, on something else, so then the person is making a statement. The statement that he's making is that there's some other pursuit of chachma that's really, really chashuv, and Torah, for this 6 months of my life, or for this, three credits of my life, I don't want to give any more practical examples, so a person is making a statement that I could be learning, and now I've chosen to give in something else more significance, says the Baruch Hu, that's a problem. That's the Bittul Torah, B'kum Vaseh, and that's a significantly different type of Bittul Torah. That's what the Rambam is coming down hard against. So, but Medav Amamurim, though, this discussion that we're having, this is, once it's out of the realm of Limud Umnas, that's what Rabbi Chanan in his Tshuva makes this point very clearly. He says that Kol Zman, that it's within the realm of pursuit of Umnas, whatever that means, each time and place is a little bit different. So Yoni Lamed Adamus B'no Umnas Kav L'Kiyam. You can't argue that, says Rabbi Chanan. But, and again, the individuals are different, okay, but for the Hamonam, you can't argue with the din of the only Laman and Adamus Mil Umus Kavan Nakia. But, says Rabbi Chanan, once it comes out of that realm, so then it becomes into a very much more serious problem, then it becomes a very, very serious issue in terms of Bittul Torah. It's for that Rabbi Chanan coined a phrase that's very popular in certain circles. Rabbi Chanan coined a phrase, he said, Kishem Shechayev Adam Lomo Torah Lishma. That's what he says. He says that a person shouldn't take the attitude that he's learning shachachmas for the pursuit of knowledge. Ruchanan said that he didn't think that was appropriate. He thought that to be done as part of parnasa, to be part of limud umnas. So Ruchanan was completely in favor of Chazal, was completely in favor for the rabbim, not necessarily for the yechidim. But for a person to pursue other things just because of shachachmas, so he's falling almost more back on the Rabbi Shmuel approach, that's not really correct. And even the non-Rabbi Shmuel approach, that wouldn't really be the correct model. That's what Rabbi Chanan writes in his description to Rabbi Shimon Schwab, why he thinks that the model that was done for whatever reasons and whatever cheshbonos were done, he doesn't think that that's the more correct model. He thinks that maybe it's appropriate in certain circumstances, maybe it has to be done, maybe it should have been done, whatever the cheshbonos are, in the most respectful way. But he says, if you want to know, this is what I think is the more correct Torah model. So again, I'm not commenting, I'm merely reporting here, I'm not commenting here, so I'm just saying that this is the way, at least some of the Gedolim, maybe others had, different nuances of how to, once you're talking about Kvius and Aroi, so maybe there are different nuances as to what's considered to be Kevin, what's considered to be Derech Aroi, but there's one last thing that the Ramah does make a plug, it's almost time for Shachar, one last thing that the Ramah does make a plug at, which I think is something which is unfortunately not adhered to properly very often. The Ramah writes that this entire discussion about Limud Shachachmas is assuming that the Chachmah that's being pursued is a Chachmah that's mutter to pursue. We're talking about a person pursuing other interest, fields of interest. But if the Limud Shachachmas involves things of kfira, of heresy, of apikorsas, if it involves things of pritzos, of those things that are just, which have nothing to do with Chachachma, which has to do with things which is outright awesome in a Torah to be involved in and to read about, so the Ramah writes, that's the non-starter. So he said, unfortunately, what sometimes has happened is that in the goal of Limud Shachachmas, which should or should not be pursued in whatever shape or form. So sometimes no barriers are set up, no boundaries are set. So that's clearly Shleike Halacha. So under no circumstances is a person permitted to be reading these kinds of, and study these kinds of things. The only possible heter for studying things that are kfira is if it's in the specific spirit of Dama Lahashim Lapikaris. So some people are going to be in those positions, and most people are not. The average person today is not going to be in those. People are not hacking and chining about it because the question is most people don't care about it. Remember, somebody said to me that they worked in the office for 30 years. Nobody ever asked them anything about biblical criticism. Nobody cared about anything else. So that attitude that I'm learning at Epicurus to be able to refute it. So you have to be careful. You have to know who you are and what your goal in life is going to be, whether that's a reality or just an excuse. So again, just a couple of interesting points. Those who are interested could take a look at that Kesef Mishnah. If you want more reading over Shabbos, cover Chiyurim is fascinating to read in Kiddushin. Rabbi Chashmul is fascinating to read. I'm going to get a little bit of an insight as to the way the Gedolei Olam thought about these topics. Okay, stop now.